Morning, good afternoon, Kippur. We are today on Daf Chafei. Actually, we're going to be starting today earlier on Daf Chaf Dalad. But today's Daf is Daf Chafei and Chagiga. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf will be learning the Zechanism of Philosophy from Zaltzman. And we are now continuing in the Gemara on Chaf Dalad and Aleph, where we're still on that first Mishnah of the third parak. The first Mishnah of the third parak point out that there are 11 differences, 11 chumras, 11 stringencies that we have by Kodesh, that it's over Truma. Truma and Kodesh obviously both have Kedusha, they both have sanctity, extra sanctity, than that of Chulin, that of regular food. And with more Kedusha comes more susceptibility to Truma. And so the Gemara notes that when it comes to Kodesh, it has so much more susceptibility that in 11 ways it's going to be more chumra, it's going to be more stringent than that of Truma. And the Mishnah rattled off 11 differences. The Gemara spent in the last three blad of Gemara from Chaf Amud Beis, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel, Chaf Dalin. Okay, now I say for now four blad of Gemara, where the Gemara goes into and discusses and analyzes most of those differences that are pointed out in the Mishnah. We skipped a couple along the way, but the Gemara analyzed most of these chumras. We are now finding ourselves on Chaf Dalin Aleph Harivi Bekodesh Pasul. Okay, and we're now up to the next difference mentioned, the Mishnah, and that is by Kodesh. Kodesh goes up to Revi. So levels of Tuma, this is the ABCs of Tuma and Tahara. So we know that Chulin goes up to a Sheni, but cannot go beyond a Sheni. Truma goes up to a Shlishi, and cannot go beyond a Shlishi, and Kodesh can go up to a Revi, but cannot go past a Revi. This is just literally the ABCs of Tuma and Tahara. Tanya, Rav Yossi. Gemara quotes a Braisa, Braisa quotes Rabbi Yossi, Minayin L'Revi B'Kodesh Hu Pasul. How do I know that when it comes to Revi B'Kodesh becomes Pasul? Again, the terminology of Pasul. We've said this already a number of times, but good. The more times we say it, the more times we start to understand it, or at least, you know, absorb it, is that when you see the word Pasul, Pasul means end of the road. Meaning that by Kodesh, if it gets to the point of Revi, that's it. It becomes Tame, but at the same time, it cannot be Metame others. And hence the term pasul is used. Pasul means it's the end of the road. Vidinu. So the Gemara says, well, it's logical. Meaning what we're going to use now is a kal v'chomer. A kal v'chomer is going to generate a halacha in the world of Tuma Tahara. Ma mechusa kippurim shemot b'shuma. Pasul b'kodesh. Let's take a look at mechusa kippurim. Mechusa kippurim is the description of somebody who has finished his Tahara process. Let's say the man is a Zav, and he goes through Shiva Nakim, he goes through seven clean days, and on the eighth day he brings a carbon. I'm sorry, on the eighth day he's supposed to bring a carbon. That means that on day seven of his Shiva Nakim, of seven clean days, he toveled in the mikvah. And after toveling the mikvah that night, he experienced Harav Shemesh. So he, for the most part, is Tahor. The next day he needs to bring carbonos, that's what the Torah demands. So from that night until the next day, until he brings his carbon, he's given a status of what's called Mechusar Kippurim. So this person who is Mechusar Kippurim, Shemot B'Truma. Now at that point in time, he can eat Truma. Of course he can eat Truma. Because think about it. He went to the mikvah on day 7. He had Erev Shemesh. The sun set. So he's allowed to eat Truma. But meanwhile, Pasul B'Kodesh. But at the same time, if he were to handle Kodesh, the Kodesh were to become Pasul. It's exactly the point of Mechusar Kippurim. Mechusar Kippurim means that he cannot engage in carbon activity until he brings his carbon. Good. So that's the Mechusar Kippurim. Who is allowed to eat truma, but if he touches kodesh, will disqualify the kodesh. So my mechusar kippurim shemot b'truma pasul b'kodesh shlishi shepasul b'truma. Now, when it comes to shlishi over here, we're looking at actually the third level of tuma. Shlishi. Now, when it comes to the third level of tuma, there's no compatibility between shlishi and truma. In fact, that's the whole point of truma. Truma, because it's on a higher level of Kedusha, is susceptible to Tumah by Shlishi, meaning it can become a Shlishi. So, Enu Din Shiasa Revi'i LaKodesh, and meanwhile, I'm sorry, not meanwhile, and so, by the argument where we're comparing a Mechusar Kippurim to Shlishi, if Mechusar Kippurim is allowed to eat Truma but disqualifies Kodesh, Shlishi, which disqualifies Truma, for sure should disqualify Kodesh, Shiasa Revi'i LaKodesh. And as far as Kodesh is concerned, how do we know that Kodesh can become a Shlishi? That is a Pasuk in the Torah, or a Drush, I should say, rather. So how do we know that it can become a Revi? Using the Kal V'Chomer that we just described. Shlishi L'Kodesh Min HaTorah Minayin. Let's just quickly finish up the Gemara and I'll discuss one point. So Shlishi L'Kodesh Min HaTorah Minayin. How do I know that Kodesh can go up to a Shlishi? that if the meat comes into contact with anything that became tamei, you're not allowed to eat it. Milo askin denaga b'sheni. So ostensibly, we're talking about where the meat of kodesh, came into contact with the sheni. Become rachman lo yecham. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat it. So you see that when it comes to kodesh can get, already become a shlishi status, and that's a drasha or a pasuk, same thing, same basic idea. That's in the Torah. So now what am I going to do with Kavachomer? So Revi, the Kavachomer Hadamaran, and as far as it becoming a Revi, so we're going to use the Kavachomer that we just used. Okay. We see what just happened over here in the Gemara. We had a Kavachomer logical deduction. We compared a Mechusa Kippurim to a Shlishi status. Since Mechusa Kippurim cannot eat Truma, sorry, let me do that better, can eat Truma, and cannot eat Kodesh, Shlishi, which is not compatible with Truma, for sure would disqualify Kodesh. And then the Gemara says, now as far as Kodesh becoming Shlishi, I already have a Pasuk, so what do I do with this Kal Vachomer? I extend it and bring Kodesh to the level of Revi'i. It can become a Revi'i. Rashi points out over here that these two, that the fact that we have a Kal Vachomer and the fact that we have a Drasha are both necessary components to this discussion. Rashi writes, I'm just going to say it over quickly, but it's a lot to think about. Rashi writes that when you generate a halacha through a Kal Vachomer, we have a principle of Dayo. The principle of Dayo says that whenever generating a halacha based on a logical argument, a logical deduction, what we call a Kal Vachomer, so with you cannot generate a halacha that's greater in consequence than from the original source. So in other words, if the original source is telling us that it becomes the shlishi, so then the halacha which is generated should not be any greater. And meanwhile, what did the Gemara just say? Well, if Mechusa Kippurim can make make Kodesh a shlishi, well, imagine what a shlishi can do. A shlishi by Kodesh can make it a revi'i. Wait a second, you just went one step further than the source halacha, and that violates the rule of Dayo. Dayo lavamina din liyoskin nadon. So Rashi points that out over here. How did we do that? Using a Kal Vachomer to get us to Kodesh to Revi'i when the source halacha was talking about Shlishi. So Rashi says that's why the Gemara pointed out that Shlishi by Kodesh, that already we know. That's a Pasuk in the Chumash. Now that we already know that, so then the Kal Vachomer is left to do what? It can't tell us that Kodesh becomes a Shlishi. I knew that already. So now the Kal Vachomer is coming to generate a new halacha. Even though we normally say Dayo, but over here, because we have a Pasuk, and the Kal Vachomer wouldn't be teaching us anything, therefore the Kal Vachomer is going to extend the halacha. Okay, I said it really quickly. It's a lot to think about. Take a look at Rashi, Eino Din, Shiaz, the Revi'i Lakodesh, where he discusses this principle over here. Good. Okay, but that is the source for Kodesh becoming a Revi'i. Continuing in the Gemara of Truma in Nitmeis. Okay, now we're up to one of the last differences between Kodesh and Truma. You take a look at the. We're going to go all the way back to the Mishnah just to review the Mishnah. So the Kodesh Mat Bil Shem Sheyam Mitamis Chaver to the Kodesh of a Lo B'Truma. Okay, if one hand becomes Tameh, one hand will be Mitameh the other. By Kodesh, but not by Truma. Okay? The Mishnah all the way back on Chaf Amud Aleph, it's one of the last differences. Okay, I think this is number 9. Oh, good. I'm counting well today. Okay, so this is number 9 in the Mishnah. So, if by Truma, in other words, I have two hands, if my one, one hand is disqualified and the other hand is not disqualified, says the Mishnah, that in the world of Truma, if I pick up the Truma with my non-disqualified hand, we're fine. If I pick up the Kodesh with my non-disqualified hand, the Kodesh is going to become, let's say, Pasul right now. Generally speaking, if you had Hesach Hadas from both of your hands, both of your hands are Tameh. But let's say you washed your hands, then hard to imagine. Oh, no, not hard to imagine. Let's say one of your hands came into contact with Truma. Meaning, you saw one hand's coming in contact with Tumah, but the other hand, you watched over the other hand. Make sure nothing happened to the other hand. Okay. So, Vichurma, Nitmiz V'chula, Amar Shizbi B'chibur Shanu. So, Rav Shizbi says, I'm going to limit this point in the Mishnah. And that is, that the Mishnah that says, that if I have one hand which is Tumah, one hand which is not, and I were to touch truma with the non-tameh hand, or let's say it a little bit better, with the tahor hand, so the truma is fine. If I were to touch kodesh with the tahor hand, no, the kodesh is not fine. The kodesh now is tameh or pasul. Rav Shizbi says that's only going to be true if when I touched the kodesh with my tahor hand, the tameh hand at the time was touching my tahor hand. So if you can, if you will, if you want to imagine, so here's, let's say my left is my tameh hand, my right is my tahor hand. The halacha of the Mishnah that me picking up the kodesh disqualifies the kodesh is only when this hand is touching this hand. Then and only then is the kodesh going to become pasul. Now mind you, in the world of tumah tahara, when my tameh hand is touching my tahor hand is unaffected. This is a sheni at worst. Sheni is not going to be matama the other hand. And meanwhile, when I go ahead and I touch the kodesh, then and only then is the kodesh going to be disqualified. But if there was separation between the two hands and I picked up the kodesh with my tahor hand, the kodesh is going to be fine. This is what Rav Shizbi would like to argue. So I'm Rav Shizbi b'chiburim shanu. It's not a question of transferring. It's a gzeira de rabbanu. The gzeira de tachomer. It's a chomer by kodesh. So this is the argument of Rav Shizbi. Now, it doesn't say that in the Mishnah, but that's exactly the point. Rav Shizbi is being mechadish. So, b'chiburim shana, v'shlo b'chiburim lo. So, Eitz ve'abayi, so Abayi says, it's very hard to imagine that Rav Shizbi is correct based on the following b'raisa. The b'raisa writes, Yad neguva, mitame chaverta letame l'kosha v'lo l'chuma, divrei rebi, if I have a hand which is dry, so that'll be mitame its friend, meaning the other hand, vis-a-vis being metame kodesh, but not vis-a-vis for truma. That is according to Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, lifso avalotame. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, agreed, but the only point of disagreement is the level of tuma. Meaning, as opposed to, let's say, in general, when your hands are tame, your hands are a sheni. When they touch kodesh, what does the kodesh become? A shlishi. Now, is this kodesh able to be metame another kodesh? The answer, of course, is yes. Because a shlishi can be metame a revi by kodesh, as the Gemara just said a moment earlier. So what Rebbe's of the opinion is that when I have hands touching one another, if the dry hand is touching the other hand, and that hand and the tar hand is touching the kodesh is not only tame, go one step further, it's going to be a shlishi, in other words, as if the other hand were to touch it, and then Rebbe says that the Kodesh then in turn could be Matame another. Fine, that's Rebbe's position. Rebbe Yehuda says no, that when one hand touches another hand, and they're both dry, I'll get to the point of dry in just a moment, and they're both dry, so the Kodesh that I touch actually becomes a ravine, not a shlishi. Okay, that's a machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda. The point we're going to focus on right now is the neguvin. Right. The Braisa added an element to this whole discussion of, and your hands were dry. Your hands were dry. So now, if your hands are not touching one another, so then I understand the element of neguva. If we're talking about where your hands are touching one another, why are we having a discussion or consideration of dry versus not dry? Meaning, take a look at the last Rashi on this Amud. Rashi might right. Yamar b'shlama shlo b'chiburim kamar. The tame hain rebusta d'neguva v'afagav d'neguva hi kishenaga b'zu ve'in lachu shema naga hayadator b'mashkin shebetmeya. Look, let's imagine for just a moment that we're going to keep dealing with the same base the same case where one hand is tame, one hand is tahor. Okay, strange scenario, but let's imagine. And let's say on the tummy hand there's liquid. Okay, what do we know when it comes to liquid? A chumra by liquids, and that is that when liquid comes into contact with tuma, this is all on the rabbanan level, the liquid not only becomes tummy, but the liquid jumps up to a rishon. So that means that if on my tummy hand I have liquid, the hand is a sheni, and the liquid is a rishon. Now this does not occur in the rest of the world of tuma and tahara. Usually, whenever there's a transference of tuma, it drops down. It goes down to a shlishi. It goes down to a revi. And here, in the case of liquid, as the gzera derabanan, liquid goes up to a risha. This is what Rashi is describing. So now, if there's liquid on my tummy hand, that liquid's a risha. When my other hand touches the liquid, what happens to my other hand? My hand becomes a sheni, like any transference of tumah. So Rashi writes over here, look, in this braisa, I now understand the braisa is talking about dry versus wet. Because if it were wet, we know the rule. Rashi writes that the liquid becomes a rishon. The basic rule that we see again and again throughout Mashkin is that when Mashkin comes into contact with a sheni, that's Rashi's description about posel satruma. That's a description of sheni. So the liquid becomes a rishon. So then fine. When the other hand touches now the liquid, the other hand of course becomes a sheni. And good. And now Rashi explains, and that's the chiddush of neguva. Neguva tells me that even if the tummy hand is dry, so there really is no reason on a deraiser or even on a derabanan level that one hand should be metame the other hand. Because again, this hand is dry and this hand is the sheni. So my sheni hand should not and generally does not affect my other hand. That's the chumrah by kodesh. By kodesh, when dealing with kodesh, if one hand is tummy, we're going to treat the other hand as tummy as well. And then Rashi writes, and all this is well understood, even if the hands are not touching one another. Meaning that's exactly the point of Kodesh. The Chumrah by Kodesh is that when one hand is dry and the other hand, I'm sorry, when one hand is tummy and the other hand is not tummy, even if the tummy hand is dry, and generally there would be no communication of tumah from one hand to the other, af al pi kein, still the non-tummy hand becomes tummy as a Chumrah when it comes to Kodesh, and even if they're not touching one another. All that would make sense if the assumption is that there was no contact. But if your Rav Shizbi is right, that this halacha of our Mishnah is only when the hands are touching one another, so the time of Mishum Doma Naga Tamla Kodesh, and why? Why is it that this concern is only when the hands are touching one another? Because probably, or at least as a very serious concern, when I'm touching the truma or the kodesh with my tar hand, and my tummy hand is right there, so probably my tummy hand is going to touch the kodesh as well. So the Gemara says, so then why are you introducing neguva into the equation? That it shouldn't matter. So the my rebusa de neguva to yad kamaisa lo metame lo kodesh b'lo mashkin ha lo shniyahi, meaning your tummy hand is right there, and probably going to end up touching the kodesh or the truma. So whether it's dry or whether wet, who cares? What difference does it make? So basically, what Abai does is he dismisses his Rav Shizbi's chiddush just based on this braisa and the braisa's usage of the word neguva. Neguva just doesn't make sense in this context. Okay, let's continue. Itmar Nami. Now the Gemara is Itmar Nami. Usually, when you see the word Itmar Nami, it means we also learned. Although, as we'll see in just a moment, this discussion coming up is not necessarily connected to the previous discussion. The words Itmar Nami seem to be misplaced. Okay, Amar Shlakish. Lo shano ela yado avayad chaver lo. This idea that one hand will be matam of the other hand, that's only when dealing with your own two hands. One hand is tam, the other hand is tahor. The tahor hand is the tahor hand able to use truma? Yes. Is it able to use kodesh? No. And why not? Because one hand is matam, the other hand, that's only when your own two hands. But not with your friend's hand. Meaning, if, let's say, my friend's hand touched my hand was tahor, his hand was tameh, my hand remains tahor. This is Reish Lakish's position. Rav Yochanan Amar, echad yadov, echad yachavero, ba'oso yad lifsov alo tameh. And Rav Yochanan disagrees with his brother-in-law. Rav Yochanan says, no, that if your hand is touched, either by your own hand, or connected to your own hand, just simply by your body, or touched by somebody else's hand, whose hand was tameh, so then it's no good. Then your hand now becomes tameh, even through the contact of somebody else's tameh hand. And when your hand becomes tameh, it will only be posel, it will not be metameh. Meaning that we recognize that this is a chumrah, that your hand now just became disqualified through somebody else's hand. And so even though your hand now touches kodesh, now generally by yadayim, what do we say? Yadayim are a sheni. So when they touch Kodesh, what should the resulting Kodesh be? Shlishi. So Rav Yochanan says, look, we're recognizing this is a chumrah, and therefore when your hand touches a Kodesh, the Kodesh will become tameh, but not a shlishi, only a ravi. And that's and that's articulated by using the word lifso. And Rav Yochanan says, and how do I know this? Rav Yochanan says it's very simple. Very simple. Like any of this is very simple. But Rav Yochanan says it's very simple. Because look at the concluding statement of the Braisa. A one hand will be metame another for Kodesh, but not for Truma. Hasulamali hatan le reisha. Gemara says, isn't that the whole point of this Braisa? So the Gemara says, it's coming to include even the hand of somebody else, not even your own hand. Somebody else's hand can render your hand unfit, your Torah hand unfit, for handling Kodesh. And then the Gemara points out that Reish Lakish originally argued with his brother-in-law. Reish Lakish's position was that this Chomra of our Mishnah, that one hand is Matami, another hand is only for your own, for you and your own two hands, but not somebody else's hand. But then Reish Lakish eventually yielded to his brother-in-law, Am Rav Yonah, Am Rabbi Ami, Am Reish Lakish, Echad Yadu Ve'echad Yachaver, but also Yad Lifsol Avalo L'Tameh. Good, he says it, just like his brother-in-law said it, that one hand will be Mitameh, the other hand, and even if it's an outsider's hand touching your hand now becomes disqualified. And again, he also yields to the point where your hand is what? Not a Sheni, but your hand will be a Shlishi, and the resulting Kodesh that you touch will be a Revi. Hence the word puzzle. Well, Livsov all the time, Tanahi. And the Gemara points out not everyone agrees to this last point, that your hand is that your Torah hand, which was touched by a Tameh hand, is now a Shlishi, not a Sheni. Did not, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. So, Kol HaPosu B'Truma, Matameh Adam Liyoshniyos, V'yah Matameh Chaver, Tadivir Rabbi Yoshua. So, that which puzzles Truma will be Matameh your hands to become a Sheni. That which passes truma, again, that's code for sheni. That which passes truma is going to be metame your hands. Your hands are going to be sheni. And
your hand being sheni initially is from midrabanan to begin with.
Correct.
So this is another midrabanan on top of that.
Well, correct. Agreed. This is, I mean, it's not another. It's all part of the gzera derabanan of yadayim. That how do your hands get the status by even coming into contact with the sheni? I agree. Of course you're right. Sheni is not metame sheni. And a Sheni is not Matame, a human being. This is part of the Gzera of Yadayim, that your hands will get the status of Sheni by touching a Sheni. Divrei Rabbi Yoshua, b'chachamim amrim, yadayim shniyos sein ve'ein Sheni osa Sheni. And the chachamim say, no, your hands are a Sheni, and we know that a Sheni doesn't create a Sheni. So, my love Sheni hu delo avid hashlishi avid. So the Gemara says, okay, now if we read the chachamim's position carefully, isn't the chachamim essentially saying, look, your hands don't become a Sheni. Oh, but they become a Shlishi. Right? Isn't that what the Chachamim is saying? And the Gemara says, no, Dema lo sheni aviv lo shlishi. So the Gemara says, from that Mishnah, not enough evidence. All that Mishnah is saying is your hands don't become a sheni. And you want to now be medayik that what the Mishnah means is not a sheni, but a shlishi. That's not conclusive. So the Gemara says, alaki hatanai detanya. The Gemara says, you're right. That Mishnah is not enough information, but the Braisa we're about to read is enough information. Again, we're going to go back to the Braisa that we saw on the Amud Aleph, and that is that one hand is Metame, another hand, so that second hand now will do what? Will be Metame Kodesh. Metame Kodesh means that your hand is a Sheni, the resulting Kodesh that you touch is a Shlishi. Okay, good, so your hands are a Sheni. And Rav Yehuda Omer, oh, so yeah, Lifsov Alolatame. No, the hand that was touched will passel Kodesh. Passeling Kodesh means your hand is a Shlishi, and the resulting Kodesh that you touch, therefore, will become a Revi, end of the road, hence the word passel. Okay, Adkan. Admittedly, none of that was easy. A discussion in the Gemara of the ninth Chumra of the Mishnah. Ninth Chumra in the Mishnah is that when one hand touches another hand, that second hand becomes tamei. I'll use the word vaguely tamei, and that when that second hand now touches Kodesh, the Kodesh will become tamei. Again, I'm using it loosely. Correct. Well, that's a machlokus, but okay, fine. But you said that second hand now is not going to be able to touch Kodesh with that second hand, and that's true by Kodesh. That's not true by Truma, And then the discussions in the Gemara of, is this limited to only when the hands are touching one another? That's Rav Shizbi's Chiddush. The Gemara seems to have rejected that. The discussion of what degree of Tumah the Tar hand becomes. Does it become a Sheni? Does it become a Shlishi? That's the Machlokas. And both Rav Yochanan and Rav Shlakish are concluding that that second hand becomes a Shlishi, not a Sheni.
By definition, doesn't Kodesh always become
Pasul? No. If Kodesh becomes a Shlishi, the Kodesh now is Tameh, because it can be Metameh another Kodesh. So that Kodesh now, so Shlishi Kodesh is not Pasul, it's Tameh. Meaning it's Pasul in the sense, you're right, it's Pasul in the sense that of course you can't use it, but in the world of Tumah Tahara, the term we're going to give it is Tameh, because it could be Metameh something else.
If it's Tumah, it goes in third, but the Kodesh goes to Revi, right?
Right, correct. Correct.
So if it's Revi, what could it be Metameh? If it's Revi,
if the Kodesh becomes Revi, then the Kodesh would become Pasul.
No, but it cannot be Metameh other Kodesh.
No.
So by definition,
I understood. But let's say, just if your hand is a sheni and it touches kodesh, what does the kodesh become? Not a revi. The kodesh becomes a shlishi. That kodesh in turn touches another kodesh. That kodesh now becomes a revi. Okay. Let's Ochlin neguvan biyadayin misu abos. You can eat. Dry food with your dirty hands. Dirty over here. Dirty over here does not mean we're not speaking hygienically over here. This is not a hygienic discussion. This is a Tumah Tahara discussion. It means that because everything is dry, your hands are dry, so there's no transfer of Tumah from the hands to the food. So the now, at first glance, what the Mishnah means, what I mean dry, there's no transfer of Tumah of dry. That's not true. In other words, if your hand is a sheni and the truma is there and you're touching the truma is going to become a shlishi with or without liquid. What's going on over here? Presumably what's going on over here is that when it says dry, it means it was always dry. It meaning that the food that we're touching was never came into contact with a liquid. Therefore, never mochshe lekabel tuma. And that's why you could take your dirty hands, dirty meaning they're a sheni, and touch the truma, because the truma will be unaffected, because the truma was never mokshul kabul tuma. That's what we think the Mishnah means, because that's ostensibly what it means. Meanwhile, the Gemara points out, Tanya Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, v'chi yesh neguva l'kodesh, v'alo chibas ha-kodesh mechashar tam. So Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos says, I know everyone thought that's what the Mishnah means, but it can't be, because what's the contrast in the Mishnah? When it comes to truma, you know, by truma there's no hechsher. You know, by kodesh there's hechsher, even if it's dry. That's not a chumrah. That's the halacha when it comes to kodesh. Kodesh is always susceptible to tuma, even when there's no liquid. It's a principle. It's a concept called chibas hakodesh. Chibas hakodesh literally translates as the love of kodesh, right? But out of context, it doesn't mean anything. In context, in our context, what it means is that because Kodesh has such sanctity and such Kedusha, its susceptibility to Tumah is so high that it will become susceptible to Tumah even though it doesn't go through the standard process of Heksha. Good. That's true by Kodesh. So what Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos says is, can you look at our Mishnah? Our Mishnah simply doesn't make any sense. Because our Mishnah says that when it comes to Kodesh, oh, you know, when you take your hands and you touch Kodesh, and even if the Kodesh didn't come into contact with the liquid, so the Kodesh becomes Tameh. Rav Chanina ben Antignos says, that's not a Chumrah. That's just simply the Halacha when it comes to Kodesh. So it can't possibly be that the Mishnah is contrasting, here's a Chumrah by Truma that you don't have by Kodesh. I'm sorry. Let me restate that correctly. Here's a Chumrah by Kodesh that you don't have by Truma. It's not a Chumrah. That's just simply the Halacha. So the v'alo chibas hakodesh mechashar shatam l'sricha kegon shetachu l'chaver l'toch piv v'shetachu v'hu l'atmo b'choshe v'karkar u'bikesh lechol tznon u'batsal shechul l'nimahem. So the Gemara says the case in our Mishnah is going to be more complex. It's going to involve you eating kodesh, either someone put it in your mouth, so you didn't handle it with your hands, or let's say you handled it by using a toothpick, a pshute kli eitz, a simple wooden utensil that is not mekabel tuma. So in other words, the kodesh you didn't actually handle with your hands, But either somebody else put it in your mouth or you took a toothpick and you picked it up with a toothpick. So there's no transference of tumah from your hands to the Kodesh. It's in your mouth now. And remember, the Gzeira D'Rabbanan of Yadayim only applies to the hands, not to any other part of your body. So then right now it's in your mouth. In and of itself, it's fine. And then at the same time, you're also going to chew on some chulin as well. Radish or in other words, you're going to have together with your piece of meat, you're going to have a salad. Okay, I know. For the real meat eaters in the room, like what's, you know, someone said it to me wonderfully. He says, I outsource the eating of my vegetables. The animals eat the vegetables and I eat the animals. So anyway, okay, fine. But the, yeah, I liked it. I really enjoyed it. Anyway, he's eating the Kurdish meat and the chulin salad at the same time. Now says the Gemara. So avashachul imayim lekorish gazur b'rabbanan truma lo gazur b'rabbanan. This is a chumra now that we're going to have by kosh that we're not going to have by truma. This is it. And as Rashi points out, this has nothing to do with hechsher. Hechsher is not a chumra. Hechsher is simply the halacha. By kodesh, all kodesh is mochsher, even if it didn't come into contact with a liquid. But rather over here, what we are now the tenth chumra of the Mishnah is that I cannot eat kodesh and chulin at the same time. But I can eat truma and chulin at the same time. Why not? Just give me a moment. Rashi writes, "Lenin truma afa pishiyah misu abes post lasa la asamala ela armin and zayir velo naga." Because when it comes to truma, we will safely say the chachamim tell us that he understands right now that he's got truma and chulin in his mouth. One may have thought that, and I understand this is now I'm discussing etiquette. But you're not going to stick your fingers in your mouth. Maybe got something caught in your teeth. You're not going to stick your fingers in your mouth because you realize I have truma in my mouth right now. I also have chulin, but I got truma in my mouth right now. So he's going to be conscious enough not to put his fingers in his mouth. As a chumra of kodesh, you can't do that. If your hands are tame or right or yadayim, just regular stam yadayim or shnios, if your hands are tame, and he eats kosher and chulin at the same time, even if he's not handling it, even if somebody else put it in his mouth or he put it in his mouth through a toothpick, still, the fact that he has chulin in his mouth is going to lead us enough concern where you're going to take his finger and put it in his mouth to get the onion that's stuck in his teeth right now out and move it so that he can chew on it. And meantime, he has kodesh in his mouth and he's going to be passing the kodesh. That's the Gemara's understanding of the 10th chumra of the Mishnah. And now, as Rashi himself points out, having nothing to do with Hechsher. Meaning we thought it was about Hechsher. It's the way the Gemara explains it, the way Rashi understands the Gemara, it has nothing to do with Hechsher.
In terms of Hechsher, like, part of the thing is that you as the owner have to want it to become back. Who in the world would want Kodesh to become?
Okay, understood. Understood. But even without all that, meaning Kodesh is just simply susceptible. Even without Hechsher. Continuing the Gemara, last final chumra in the Mishnah of Kodesh over Truma, ha'onen mechusi kippurim. If a person, Rachman al-Islan, is an onen, he lost a family member, a karav, a relative, so for the remainder of that day, he cannot eat Kodesh on a daraisa level. That night, he may or may not be an onen midrabanan. Okay. The next day, his onen status is gone, regardless of whether there was burial or there was no burial. Now, obviously, if he was involved in the burial, obviously, he's Tamei, and obviously, he can't eat Kodesh, he can't eat Truma, but let's, right, Rashi said this back in the Mishnah, let's say, for the purposes of understanding our Mishnah, he wasn't involved in the burial. On a Daraisa level, the next day, he can eat Kodesh. On a Daraisa level, the next day, he can eat Truma, because his owning status on a Torah level is over. Meanwhile, as a Chomer D'Rabbanan, the next day, he can't eat kodesh until he tovels in the mikvah. He can eat truma, but he can't eat kodesh until he tovels in the mikvah. And the same thing regarding mechusar kippurim. If someone is a mechusar kippurim, again, that zav, who went through the 7 days of shivanakim, I'm giving just but one example, who went through the 7 days of shivanakim, tovel in the mikvah on the seventh day, had harif shemesh, the next day he wakes up, he is obligated to bring karban, and he brings his karban, still he can't eat kodesh until he tovels in the mikvah. as a chumra derabbanan. And the Gemara gives us just a very brief description of why. On in mechus the kippur, my timea came and dada in a havesiri as rechin rabbanan tefila. So the Gemara says, look, because he was up until the point of bringing the carbon, up until the point of the next day, he was forbidden from eating kodesh. So therefore, the chachamim said, look, you've been prohibited up until this point in time. You're going to tov on the mikvah, and then and only then are you going to be allowed to eat kodesh. As opposed to truma, as Rashi points out, an onin is allowed to eat truma. Right? Strange, but correct. An onin is allowed to eat truma. A zar is not allowed to eat truma, but an onin is allowed to eat truma. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Yevamos, okay, onin is allowed to eat truma, so therefore he was never prohibited, prevented from truma, therefore he doesn't have to tov on the mikvah for truma.
Yes. So
again, there's two onanes. There are onanes that we relate to without the world of kachim, which is the onane status continues until the kvura. And then we're discussing onane from a carbon standpoint. From a carbon standpoint, the period of aninus begins at death and ends at the end of the day. Could not be, but not relevant to the discussion because we're discussing onin from a carbon standpoint. It's a limited form of aninus. Okay, now if you've been with us enough, you now know the Mishnah contrasted all the chumras that you have by kodesh over truma. Next Mishnah is going to go the other direction. Next Mishnah is going to tell us the chumras of truma over kodesh. As you can well imagine, there are not that many. It's intuitive, of course, that kodesh is going to have more chumras than that of truma. Kodesh has more kedusha, and therefore subject to more chumras. But there are stringencies of truma over kodesh, although as you'll see in our Mishnah, there's not going to be a lot. We're in the Mishnah Chavdalam and Beis. Chumra b'truma should be Yehuda. Ne'emanim al taras yayin v'shemen kol yimos v'shana. The chumra by truma is that in Yehuda, basically the way that Mishnayos look at Eretz Yisrael is divided into two parts, the north and the south. I don't know why countries always seem to be divided by the north and the south. but the north and the south. The south is referred to as Yehuda, and the north is referred to as the Galil. So in Yehuda, in the province of Yehuda, now that's the province that is in, where Yerushalayim is found, and the Beit HaMikdash is found. So generally speaking, it's Yerushalayim and anything south of Yerushalayim. So Chomer B'Truma should be Yehuda, Ne'emanim al Taras Yayin B'Shemen, Kolim Mos Hashana. That in the province of Yehuda, so as far as taharas yain b'shemen, oil and wine, so the Amei Haaretz are given the credibility when they say, this oil, this wine, we have made sure that it is tamei free. And they're believed, and they have nemanus. Now, why should that be? In other words, generally, how is Amei Haaretz viewed in terms of tum and tahara? They're not concerned. They're not careful about it. Generally, the Amei Haaretz is viewed as him being Tameh. Generally, he's viewed as being a Zav or a Zava, which is an Avatoma, and anything he sits on becomes a Medrash. But in the world of oil and wine for the Beis HaMikdash, they are believed. Why should that be? So we already saw back in the Gemara a couple days ago, part of the explanation is because if they if they're not believed, and we reject their oil and wine to the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to be scorned, and they're going to say, okay, really, the Beis HaMikdash doesn't want me? Okay, I'll build my own Beis HaMikdash. I quipped the other day, and it's just unfortunately too true. I'll make my own show. Okay, so as part of not scorning. So, but again, there's got to be more to it. It just can't be. Ava's important, but in terms of the Ne'emanus for Tum and Tahara, they're believed for those living in Yehuda. The Gemara is going to ask the question, well, okay, what's wrong with those people living up in the Gullah? Why aren't they believed as well? The Gemara is going to ask that question, and stay tuned. So, Chomer B'Chum Shebi Yehuda, Ne'emanim Atar Siyam B'Shem Kolei Mos Hashana, Uveshasa Gitos V'Habadim Af Ala Truma. Now, they're also believed regarding Truma, but here it's much more limited. Only during pressing season. Only during the pressing season, as if I knew when the pressing season was, but assuming that there is a season, and there is, and assuming you know when it is, and I don't, but during the season they're believed on Truma, but not at any other point during the year. So good, so now we have a Chumra of Truma over Kodesh. By Truma, they are given credibility, but only during season, for the oil and for the wine. for Kodesh, for the Beis Hamikdash, they are always believed year-round. So let's say that the press season is over, and an Amaretz goes over to a Kohen and says, here, you know, this wine, this oil, I pressed it during the press season. I'm handing it to you, Kohen. The problem is that he's handing it to him after the press season is over. And so the Mishnah says, Lo yikablanu mimenu. The Kohen at that point in time has to refuse it. And the assumption now is it's no longer Tameh. But here the Mishnah makes such an interesting comment. Ava manicha legas haba'a. But here's what you can do, says the Mishnah. The Kohen can say to him, I'll tell you what, wait till the next press season and give me this very same barrel. And then I'll be able to accept it from you. Now, I know that's very hard to process. It's very difficult to understand. Meaning, if the press season is over, and the Kohen has to refuse it because the press season is over, so now what happened to that truma the next press season? It magically becomes tahor again, just simply because it's the press season? I realize that that's difficult to process. But the Mishnah says that during the press season, they are given like an immunity towards any type of tumah, and right? Correct.
Aren't we always concerned that if they just laze around, they're going to do something with it in the meantime? So they're going to give this guy a whole year, and then they're going to tap into it by mistake.
Understood. Understood everything you said in the Mishnah, saying no. By Kodesh, they're given full credibility.
So that barrel is in limbo.
Yeah, correct. However, if the Amaretz says, look, you see this barrel? From this very barrel, I took off a revius for Kodesh. So we have a principle of Migu. We see this principle again and again. Once they're believed on part of their statement, we're going to believe them the rest of the statement. So here in this barrel of wine, if they took off a revius for Kodesh, and so now the Beis HaMikdash just accepted a revius of this barrel of wine, and they said, okay, we kept it with Tahara. So again, during the season, during pressing season, they're believed. After pressing season, generally they're not, but if they already took off wine for Kodesh, and the Beis HaMikdash, as we learned in the beginning of the Mishnah, is always going to accept their wine and their oil for Kodesh, so now once they're believed on the Kodesh, they're going to believe for the balance of the wine for Truma as well. The Imam Alo Yifrash L'Socha Reviz Kodesh Neman. I'm sorry, I just read that. I read that again. Good. Kadeh Yayin V'Kadeh Shemen HaMidumaos. I have wine and oil that is a mixture. At this point, we think it's a mixture of Truma and Chulin and Kodesh. Sorry. Tevel, Truma, Chulin, it's all mixed together. So here they're believed during the pressing season and 70 days prior to the pressing season. Okay, the Gemara will explain exactly what's going on over here in this last case in the Mishnah. We're going to come back to that, not today, more probably tomorrow. Let's start with the Gemara. The Yehuda in Begalalo. Okay, the Gemara over here is bothered by a very simple question, which I foreshadowed back in the Mishnah, and that is that for the Beis HaMikdash, anyone living in Yehuda, your Amei HaAretz can press their wine and their oil and hand it to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash will readily accept it, assuming that that's Tahor and not Tameh. That's the Mishnah. For those living in Yehuda, what about those living in the Galo? The Mishnah says, well, the Mishnah doesn't say it, but it's pretty obvious from the Mishnah, no. So, the Galo lo, my time. So, what's the reason why? Amar Yish Lakish, Mim Neshe Ritzur Shokusim, Mavsekes Bein Nehem. So, the Gemara says, because we have a strip of land that separates the Galo and the Yehuda, the Mason-Dixon lines, if you would like to say, of Eretz Yisrael, where basically in the strip of land, you have once upon a time the Kusin living there, and it would be impossible to transport the wine from the north down to the south without having to go through the strip of land. And what's the problem with the strip of land? It's what's called Eretz Ha'amim. It is not Eretz Yisrael status. It is non-Eretz Yisrael status. What any land outside of Eretz Yisrael is what's referred to as Eretz Ha'amim, or another term that's used in the Gemara is Tumas Ha'amim. And that means that they bury without regard for identifying where exactly they buried. You walk on a ground,
It could be that you're walking over tuma. It could be that you're stepping on bone that got dislodged. And basically, because of the lack of care of burial and identifying where they buried, every step you step outside of Eretz Yisrael, you're tame on a derabbanan level. This is a rabbinic concern. So you're tame, and even the airspace is going to become tame for fear that there was a body buried underneath, and there was just simply no markings that there was a body buried underneath. Right, that is a machlokas tonight. Right, the Mishnah in Olos. Okay, I forgot which parak already. The Mishnah in Olos brings down a machlokas tonight on that question. That's the right question. So anyway, so anichna sa'aretz amin b'sh. I'm sorry. Shakuz ma'afseker b'nein. V'neisa b'sheret yivel megdal. So the Gemara says, why not transport it through a box, a wagon? Isn't that going to protect it from the tumah? Hamani rebi damar ol zrok lashme ol detanya. So the Gemara says, stop tanaim don't agree. Meaning that yes, a large chest does protect from tumah, but not in transportation, not while moving. The time we learned in the Brisa, Nichnas Aretz Amin Bishit the Tevel Migdal. Rabbi Metame. Rabbi says that even though you're inside, you're going to become Tame. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Metar, and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda says you're Tar. Second time today that we saw Machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Malaysi Bekli Charis Amukos Mitzil. Gemara wants to know, how about another solution? How about taking the oil and the wine, putting in earthenware with a sealed lid on the top? Isn't that going to protect it from Tuma? I'm Rabbi Elazar Shonin and Hektish Nitzel Bitzimid Psil. So the Gemara says, well, Hektish isn't saved by an earthenware jug. Just as a question, this is a new principle the Gemara just introduced to us. Why isn't it included in the first Mishnah of our Perek? We just now learned a new Chumra of Kodesh over that of Truma. Take a look at Tosfos. Third Tosfos down on the Amud Shonin and Hektish. Sarach Yinam, I lo chashle gabe malstu b'truma, matzino b'shileni zaken. Okay, good. Right, good question. Why is this a new chumra by Kodesh? That even when the Kodesh is inside an earthenware jug, it will not protect it from tuma. V'hatanya inchatas nipsal b'tzamid psil. The Gemara is bothered by a brisa. The brisa says that paraduma is not protected in earthenware jug. Now, we know, go back to the first Mishnah. Go back to the previous parak. We know five levels. Chulin, Meiser Sheni, Truma, Kodesh, Paraduma, Chatas. So the Gemara now is bothered by, from this, so what does it sound like? What is affected in an earthenware jug, in a steel earthenware jug? Only level five, only Paraduma. Anything less than that will be protected in earthenware. So the Gemara says, my love, HaKodesh Nitzal. The Gemara says, lo, HaMayim Sheni Mekudashim Nitzal, Limbet Simit Psil. So the Gemara says, from that brisa, you can't deduce anything. It doesn't mean that if you go down anywhere from level 5, you go down to 4, 3, 2, or 1, it's going to be protected. All it means is that the Parah Aduma is only going to be affected only when it's Mikudash, meaning it's Mayim Chaim mixed already with the Afer HaParah. Then it will be unprotected even in an earthenware jug. But if it's just a Mayim Chaim, the earthenware jug will protect it. That's all the brisa means. So Ula says, I don't understand. You know, the Chaverim, those people up in the Galil who are very careful about the way they maintain their level of Tahara, so you know, they're pressing up in the Galil. So the Gemara's question over here is really simple. If you're telling me that there's just simply no way to transport the Kodesh from the Galil down to Yehuda, so why in the world are Ula saying, even nowadays, now, by the way, that's so interesting, even nowadays, meaning Ula is an Amora, living a couple hundred years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, why are they doing so? But Tahara, I don't know. But Ula says that they're pressing up in the Gaul in Tahara. If we're talking about the strip of land separating, and there's no way to transport, not through an OL, not through an earthenware jug. So what's going on? So the Gemara says, "Menichon." I'm sorry, "Ulechishiavo leyavitarena." So the Gemara says, they're making it and hoping that Eliyahu Navi comes and he will be mitahir, meaning that Eliyahu Navi will determine the path in which you can get from the Gullah down to Yerushalayim. Okay, finished up the first Mishnah of the third parak of Chagiga. We went through today Chumras numbers 9, 10, and 11 in terms of where Kodesh is going to be more chumra than that of Truma. We started the next Mishnah today on the bottom of Chavdal Amad Beis, where there is a chumra of Truma over Kodesh, and that is credibility to the Amei Haaretz. For Kodesh, they're always afforded credibility when they say that they prepare the oil and wine in a state of Tahara. By Truma, not so. And then the Gemara discussion of why are we allowed to prepare the oil and wine in Yehuda, but not in the Galal, and basically a little discussion in the Gemara about the inability to transport the wine from the north down to the south because of the strip of the land and the Eretz HaAmim and the land of the nations. Okay, I'll stop over here.